Masechta Tainis Daf Tes Zayin Amid Aleph Taisdir Maschel Malkum Tefillin. The Gemara points out that the Afer, the ash, or perhaps the dirt, as we'll see a little later on in the Tosfos, on the last set of fast days, was placed in addition to on the Aron Kodesh, what the Mishnah refers to as the Teva, but also on the heads of the various Jewish leaders and on everybody's head. So the Gemara quotes the statement of Reb Yitzchak that the ash or the dirt is placed in Mokum Tefillin, which is the Dibur Masel of Tosfos. The Gemara, in sourcing Reb Yitzchak's din, quotes the pasuk in Yeshaya that in times of Geula, Losum Lavele Tzion, Laseis Lahem Pe'er Tachas Sefer, to place for the mourners of Tzion, to give them a Pe'er, literally a source of splendor or a crown, instead of the ash. So Tosfos explains as follows: B'malkam tefillin, pirish laseis ha'efer b'malkam ha'pe'er. The reason we're putting the ash in the place of the tefillin is in order to place it in the place of the splendor, the pe'er that, as we're going to see, is a reference to tefillin. The ilo ha'tefillin nikru pe'er. Whereas or since the tefillin are referred to as pe'er. And how do we know that? K'dichsiv lasum lavele tzion laseis lahem pe'er v'gomer, as the Gemara indicates. I believe a careful read of the Tosfos and the parallel Rashi indicate that they have similar but not identical perushim in this Gemara. When Rabbi Yitzchak states that we place the ash in the place of tefillin, and he quotes the pasuk of Lasum Lavele Tzion Laseis Lahem Pe'er Tachas Efer, and that in times of Geula we have the Pe'er, which we're assuming is tefillin, instead of the ash, so that implies that in times of tragedy and suffering, then we dafka do have ash instead of the tefillin. So hence, they're in parallel places. But there are two ideas that Rabbi Yitzchak is assuming. One is a definitional idea that pe'er means tefillin, and one is the idea that it's meaningful that in times of tragedy to put the efer in the place of tefillin. So which of those two ideas is meant to be proven from this pasuk from Yeshaya of Lost? So it appears that Tosfos is explaining as follows: B'mokam tefillin, pirish laseis ha'efer b'mokam ha'pe'er. Why do you choose to put the ash in the place of the tefillin? Because is it appropriate to put the ash in a place that's called splendor to show that you're in a state of suffering and a state of demonstrating humility before Kodesh Baruch Hu, Sadafka, in the place of the splendor of the tefillin, we're placing the ash. That concept of where we place the ash is not necessarily being sourced by Reb Yitzchak from the Pasukin Yeshaya, because the Pasukin Yeshaya says exactly the opposite, that in times of Geula, placing the pe'er instead of the efer. But it doesn't directly state that in times of suffering that we have Afer instead of tefillin. Might follow, but it doesn't directly state that. So Tosis, by explaining originally that perish losis Afer b'malkam ha'pe'er, indicates that we're doing misvara, that it's appropriate to express humility, to put the Afer dafka in the place that we normally associate with splendor. But we need a source that tefillin is called pe'er. The ilu ha'tefillin, Tosis continue, nikru pe'er, kidechsiv lasem lavele tzien laseislam pe'er v'gomer. And Tosis seems to be assuming that pasuk is taken for granted that pe'er means tefillin. Somewhat unclear as to how that pasuk implies that. Perhaps, as we see in Yechezkel, when he describes the big dekuna, he refers to their hats as parei migbaot. So you see that something to do with the head is referred to as pe'er, and that which we know that Jewish people wear is a tefillin. So hence the pasuk means tefillin. So again, according to Tosfos, the fact that you're putting it in the place of tefillin seems to be derived from svara. The fact that pe'er means tefillin seems to be derived from the pasuk of lasem lavele siyam lasem pe'er tachasef. That's the simple reading of Tosfos, I believe, notwithstanding the fact that the pasuk in Yeshaya does not directly indicate that pe'er means tefillin. But that's what Tosfos seems to have understood it as implying. Rashi, on the other hand, I believe, is saying the exact opposite. Rashi states in the Rimaskal Pe'er Tachasefer, Pe'er Tachasefer Shema Mina B'mokam Tefillin Yichsiv Bahu Pe'er Chachov Shalecha Verminan Elu Tefillin U'metargaminan Ami Totfasach Totfasan Havian Aloch. Rashi, I believe, is saying that of the two things that Reb Yitzchak is assuming, number one, that pe'er means tefillin, and number two, that it's appropriate to put the ash dafka in the place of tefillin. So the fact that pe'er means tefillin is not being proven from the pasuk in Yeshaya. As we said earlier, the pasuk in Yeshaya doesn't seem to imply that necessarily. Rather, that is being proven from a pasuk in Yechezkel. Yechezkel was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to marry a woman who was soon after going to pass away, and he was told that in general he was not allowed to mourn for her. And by doing that, he was creating what's called a paral dimyon, a demonstrative prophetic act to show that Klal Yisrael Chalila are going to have to undergo Chorban, and they're going to be so shocked by the Chorban that they're not going to even have time to mourn. So Yechezkel's actions were meant to be a model of that. So one of the things that Hashem told Yechezkel is Pe'ercha Chovash Alecha, that unlike a regular mourner, you're going to wear your splint. So the Gemara Moed Katan, as well as Brachas that Rashi references, points out that a mourner, at least on the first day, is not allowed to wear tefillin. And the way we know that is because Yechezkel was told to wear tefillin, in other words, not to engage in an act of mourning. So we see from that pasuk that pe'ercha chovash alecha, that you, unlike a regular mourner who's not allowed to wear tefillin the first day, but you will wear tefillin. So that pasuk in Yechezkel, not the pasuk in Yeshaya, provides for us the source that pe'er means tefillin. What does the pasuk in Yeshaya do for us? That's what Rashi points out at the beginning, shma mina b'mokum tefillin. In other words, not that pe'er means tefillin, but the pasuk in Yeshaya is telling us that in times of glory and splendor and redemption, so then we put the tefillin in the place that used to have ash on it. So that directly implies that in a time of suffering, in a time of galus, and relevant to us in times of fasting for rain or other sorrows, so that is the appropriate place to put the efer where the tefillin was supposed to go. So it seems to me, even though Rashi's pshat is smoother, that Rashi and Tosfos is saying the exact opposite. For Rashi, pe'er is proof from Yechezkel, from an outside source. And the pasuk in Yeshaya is telling you about the placement of the ash, where it's supposed to go. According to Tosfos, the placement of the ash is said misvara, and in fact, the tefillin are called pe'er, that's learned from the pasuk in Yeshaya. The interpretation that we presented for Tosfos, although Samat Ochuk and Svara, I believe, is the one that's most loyal to the words. And I didn't see any of the Mefarshim suggest the gears to change. However, I did notice that there were others who suggested to explain the Tosis in accordance with Rashi. But in order to do that, one would have to add in words or juggle the phrases of Tosis. And to read Tosis as follows. Perish, lo se sa'efer v'mokam ha-pe'er. That you're supposed to put the ash in the place of the splendor. And how do we know that? Now we have to basically skip a phrase. Kiddich siv lasum lavele tzien lases lahem pe'er v'chule, meaning tachas efer. Then in times of geula, we put the pe'er instead of efer. And in times of tzara, so we have the efer instead of pe'er. And then Tosis just gives a parenthetical comment, the ilo atfilin nikru pe'er. And that's why that's what Yeshaya is talking about. And how do we know that tefillin are called pe'er? Well, that we're going to derive from the pasuk in Yechezkel, exactly in accordance with Rashi. That's not the smoothest read of the Tosfos, as we indicated, that you have to say that the kiddich siv, lasum, lave, leitzin, etc. at the end is going on the first line of Tosfos and not in the immediately preceding line of the ilu atfilin nikru pe'er, which is the way I interpret it in our elucidation of this Tosfos. V'habocher yivchar, in terms of which interpretation is the more correct one. Tosfos de Maschil Ika Beinayu, the Golem Ibe Knishta Leve Knishta. The Gemara points out that there are two reasons why we go out onto the street on the last seven fast days. Chia Barabba states that we tried davening Bitsina and we weren't answered, so now we disgrace ourselves by going out into the public. Shlokish says that it's a form of Golus. Golinu, Goluseinu Mechaperes Aleinu, that we have exiled ourselves and may the exile atone for our sins. So the Gemara points out, and this is the Divrei Maschil of Tosfos, that the Nafkamina would be, Ike Benayu, the Golem Bnei Knishta Leve Knishta. Is it acceptable, rather than going out into the street, to go from one shul to another? So Tosfos explains, similar to Rashi, Pirish. If the point of going out into the street is because of exile, like Rish Lakish, Ika. So that exists, and that is fulfilled by going from one shul to another. The view of Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, that we're going outside into the street in order to cause public degradation, so Lekka. So going from shul to shul, that would not be sufficient because that's not out in the street. The whole sins, Tosfos continue, Be'knishta Havi Kamobitzina. The shul is considered in private, as evidenced from the very fact fact that Rabbi Chiya bar Abba is saying we go from a private place to a public place. And it's also evidenced by the Gemara we saw earlier that when we talk about taking out the Teva, so that's something that is Befer Hesia and might not be referenced by the Ein Bein Brisa that says there's no difference between the middle fast days and the latter fast days except for Masriyan, the sound of the alarm, etc. So the Gemara pointed out that Teva is called Per Hesia and Masriyan, the sound of the alarm, which is done in Shul, is called Sinna. So Shul is clearly called Sinna, as Tosa points out here. The Gemara points out a further debate as to what the purpose of putting Efer on the head, specifically in the place of Tefillin, as we mentioned earlier. This is a machlokas in Rav Levi Bar Chama and Rabbi Chanina. One says that it shows that we are considered like Efer, a sign of contrition and humility, similar to what Avraham Avinu said to Hashem Yisbarach, Anochi Ofa ve'Efer. And one says that, so to speak, it should cause Hashem to remember the Efro Shel Yitzchok, the ash of Yitzchok. So my Beinayu, what's the nafkamina between them? Either way, we're using ash. So the Gemara says, Ika Beinayu, and the girsa we have is Ofer Stam. And here it spells Ofer with an ayin, which simply speaking means dirt. So Ofer Stam would mean regular dirt. So here, Rashi comments that we should not have the girsa of Stam, we should just have the girsa of Ofer. And according to Rashi, even though it's spelled with an ayin, but basically, as Rashi points out earlier on the Mishnah, that Efer and Ofer are used interchangeably. Efer could mean ash, it could also mean dirt. Ofer could mean dirt, it could also mean ash. And therefore, just those words themselves could be interchangeable. But the term Efer Makle, Kalui, roasted, or in Targum, means burnt. So Efer Makle clearly refers to ash specifically. Efer without the word Makle can either refer to ash or to dirt, and the same is true for Ofer. So that's what Rashi explains, that's the machlokis between Rabbi Levi Bar Chama and Rabbi Chanina. The one who says that it's a sign of humility, so it doesn't matter whether you use ash or dirt, which is in Hebrew, in the standard default way, referred to as Efer ash and Ofer dirt. But as Rashi points out, it can be used interchangeably. On the other hand, the one who says we're trying to, so to speak, cause Hashem to remember Akedas Yitzchak, so then it has to be dafka, burnt ash, meaning what we call ash, and what in the standard word is referred to as Efer. According to Rashi, the nafkamina is whether dirt is acceptable. And that's why Rashi takes out the gears of Stam, because just being Gores Ofer, if the Gemara is contrasting that with Efer, is telling us that dirt is also acceptable and not just ash. And that would be, according to the Man D'Omer, that we are trying to indicate contrition and humility before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Efer Makla refers to what we call ash. Tosis has a totally different interpretation, and this ultimately serves as a source for his rather curious comment that we saw earlier on Tezvav and Beis, that both opinions are going with the approach that you need ash, but the question is, what is the source of the ash? Tosis writes, Efer Makla, Pirish. Also, Efer Hava Midavra Nisraf Me Atmos Odom. That ash that we're using sounds like for Tosis that according to neither Manda Omar, you're allowed to use dirt, you have to use ash. That ash has to come from something that's burnt from the bones of a person. And the purpose for that is, Kedei Lizkor Akedas Yitzchak. According to the Manda Omar, that you need ash in order to remember Akedas Yitzchak, meaning that Hashem should remember. Remember Akedas Yitzchak, so you need not just regular ash that's from wood, but ash from the bones of a person. We pointed out earlier the difficulty that Rabbi Yaakov Emden notes in terms of this Tosus. But this Tosus l'shitaso. So now Tosus proves his point. So now Tosus contrasts with the other Manda Omar, that if it only came for the purpose of showing that we are before you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as ash, Anochi Ofer ve'Efer, so to speak. So Kemokain Mahani Ofer Stam. So then even regular Ofer would work. What does it mean, regular Ofer? Even regular ash. It could be, according to that opinion, maybe dirt would also be good. But in this context, Tosfos is saying Ofer Stam, and he obviously has the Girsa Stam. It means regular ash from wood or coal. Nothing to do with ash from the bones of a person. V'hainu Perish Ika Benayu Ofer Stam. That's what Tosfos conclude, and that is the explanation of the Gemara, that the Nafkamina is Ofer Stam. According to Tosfos, Ofer Stam refers to ash that is not formed from the burning of from the bones of a person. Again, maybe according to that opinion, dirt's also good. But the simple pshat in Tosfos, I believe, would be that you need ash, except it doesn't have to be from a person. So again, to summarize, according to Tosfos, if it's an expression of humility, It could be any ash, maybe dirt too. That's a shaila. But if it's an expression of having Hashem remember Akedas Yitzchak, then it has to be ash from the bones of a person. Again, we saw the other possible girsa that some of the Achronim suggest due to the difficulty in saying your mamish need ash of the bones of a person, maybe the bones of an ayil. Again, we have Tosis in both places, says Atmos Adam. So we somehow have to solve that difficulty. According to Rashi, no one requires the bones of a person. The question is, if we're trying to cause Hashem, so to speak, to remember Akedas Yitzchak, then you need real ash. What's the source of the ash? Any source, from paper, from wood, etc. And if it's to express humility, then it could even be dirt. Rashi notes that the Gemara is elaborating and explaining not just what it states in the Mishnah, but also in a Braisa that appears in Yerushalmi about additional practices that were done on fast days. So one of them is that they went out to the cemeteries. So the Gemara again quotes a Machlaikis, Yenablai, Racham, and Rabbi Chanin as to what the purpose is. One purpose is also a sign of contrition, that we are before you as if we're dead, like the dead, not really valuable. And the other is so that the deceased should daven for us. So the Gemara points out the nafkamina is whether it's meaningful in any way on a fast day to go to a non-Jewish cemetery. So Rashi explains that if it's so that he should daven, then it's only relevant to Jewish graves. But if it's a sign of humility and contrition that we are before you like as if we're dead, so then it could even be a non-Jewish cemetery. The Tosis quotes Halacha Lamaisa, Mikan Noagin B'chol Makom, from here the practice is in all places, Leilich Leveis HaKvaris B'Tisha B'Av, to visit the cemetery on Tisha B'Av, Sherei Tisha B'Av Havi Taina Sibur. Because Tisha B'Av, as the Gemara points out earlier, that ain't Taina Sibur B'Bovel except for Tisha B'Av, so that is a real Taina Sibur, and therefore we have this practice to visit the cemeteries on Tisha B'Av. K'mo Shoyu Osen U'Pnei HaGshomim, just the way they used to do for rain, because that was called the Taina Sibur. So on Tisha B'Av we also do this as well. So it's interesting that in Shulchan Aruch, Ramah quotes this practice, and he writes that ideally it's appropriate to go to a Jewish cemetery. This way you have both reasons, also that they should daven for us, and not just a sign of contrition. But if that's not possible, it would be meaningful even to go to a non-Jewish cemetery, at least to get one of the two reasons, namely a sign of humility. Since the Gemara was dealing with debates between Rabbi Levi Bar Chama and Rabbi Chanina, the Gemara quoted a debate that's not related to a tainus, and that is, what is the definition of Har HaMoriah? What does that word mean? What is the etymology of it? At least a Derech HaDrash. So the Gemara quotes again the machlokas between those two Amoraim. One opinion is, Sheyotze Mimenu Hayro Li Yisrael. On the positive side, that from there, teaching or Torah or rulings went out to the Jewish people. And one says that it's a Har Sheyotze Mimenu Mora Lo Ovdi Kachavim. A negative meaning that from there, or perhaps positive if it refers to Yirat Shamayim, that fear went out to the nations of the world. So Tos explains very similar to Rashi, starting off with the assumption that Har HaMoriah refers, of course, to Har HaBayis, where Akedas Yitzchak took place. So Tosis writes as follows in terms of explaining the various interpretations of the Gemara. Yesh Mefarshim, some say. They point out on the margin that everything that Tosis quotes here already appears in the Medrash Rabbah and Bereishis. Yesh Mefarshim, Zeh Yerushalayim, that this Har HaMoriah refers to Yerushalayim, Shenikra al Shem Avram, that Yerushalayim, that city, is called after Avram, Shekra'ohu, on the margin of the Ozvahar, they changed it not to Kra'uhu, but Kra'ohu, referring to the singular, that Avram Avinu called it Har HaShem Yera'eh, after the Akedah, he prayed that on that mountain Hashem should appear. So that gives us the word Yeru, or Yira, of the first part of the name Yerushalayim. The Bach adds in a few words here, V'hochi Perusho, Mitchila Hayanikra Kach Sholem, that originally it was called Sholem, and that's what we see concerning Malki Tzedek, as Tosas now quote, Kidachsiv Malki Tzedek Melach Sholem, a reference traditionally to Shem ben Noach, who came out to greet then Avram, who was victorious over the four kings and rescued his nephew Lot. So it says, Malki Tzedek Melach Sholem, that that was the original name of the city of Yerushalayim. Then the Bach adds in a few more words here, changes some words, V'achar kach nikra Yerushalayim, and after that it was called Yerushalayim, Al Shem Yireh, because Avraham Avinu had said, Bahar Hashem Yireh, V'al Shem Shalem, and together with the old name of Shalem, becoming Yerushalayim. Tosis note, again, they point out on the margin, it already appears in the Medrash, L'chach einanu nosnim yud b'Yerushalayim, bein lamed lemem. That's why Yerushalayim is always spelled chaser, without al yud between the lamed and the mem, to indicate the original name, al shem shalem. So it's as if it is pronounced Yerushalayim, even though the way it's read is Yerushalayim. So, v'ahar, And the mountain in the center of that city is Nikra Moriah, Al Shem Torah, because Torah comes out of it, Kidusiv, Kimi Tzion, Teitze Torah, out of Tzion, a reference to Yerushalayim, comes out Torah, Siv Yoru, Mishpatech Yaakov, that day, a reference to the Brach of Shevet Levi in Moshe Rabbeinu's farewell brachas, that they should teach your laws to Yaakov, who Lishkas HaGozis. That refers to the chamber, literally, of hewn stone where the Sanhedrin would stay. So in that sense, Horah comes out to the Jewish people. Horah, Torah, Halacha, Mesorah, because the Sanhedrin was there. What is the reference to Yoru Mishpatech Yaakov? A reference to Shevet Levi? The Sanhedrin consisted of members that weren't necessarily from Shevet Levi. So presumably this is a reference to that teaching that's recorded by the Rambam, based on the Psukim in Parsha Shoftim, that when it speaks about going to the Sanhedrin, it says, Ela Shofet Vela Kohen Asher Yeh Bayamim Ahim. So from here we have a special mitzvah, because the Kohanim and the Levim were supported by the public, and they were supposed to be the Torah learners and the Torah teachers to Klal Yisrael, so there's a special mitzvah to appoint Kohanim and Levim on the Sanhedrin. But either way, putting it all together, Yerushalayim is the source of Horah of Torah. Thus digressed by explaining the etymology of the name of the city. Didn't really need that for the purpose of our Gemara, but probably because that's what the Medrash that he's quoting also had put that all together. Now Tosus quotes another pshat, even though it doesn't have the words V'yesh Meforshim, but ultimately it's a second interpretation. And this is also quoted by Rashi as a Lishna Achrina. Hamoriah ze Sinai. That Hamoriah refers to Har Sinai. And why is it called Moriah? V'nikra Moriah al shem shemimenu yatsa mora la'ovdi kochavim b'matan Torah. Because from there was fear that went out to the non-Jews in the tremendous event of the giving of the Torah. And Tosfos now proceed to quote a pasuk to prove that point, Kidichsiv Eretz Yora'a V'Shakata. As it is written, the land was frightened and fearful, and then it was silent and calm. This pasuk that both Rashi and Tosfos quote, in its entirety reads as follows, Mishamayim Hishmata Din, from the heavens, you caused the judgment or the law to be heard. Eretz Yara Vishakata. The land was fearful, and then it was peaceful or silent. So, after some research, it would appear that Rashi and Tosfos, in saying that this is an allusion to the fact that the nations of the world were frightened by the great event of Har Sinai, is a conglomeration of two Midrashic teachings. One in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Pei Ches Amar Aleph, and one in Masechta Zvachim, Daf Kuf Tes Zayin Amar Aleph. In Shabbos, Pei Ches Amar Aleph, the Gemara tells us that before Har Sinai occurred, and Klal Yisrael said Nasev Nishma, the earth was running scared, because the whole purpose of creation was for the Jewish people to accept the Torah at Har Sinai. As Rashi already states on Chumash, where there's an allusion on the Pasuk, Vayera Vayvoker Yom Hashishi, supposed to all the other days where it doesn't say Vayera Voker Yom HaChamishi, it just says Vayera Voker Yom Chamishi, for example. So Yom HaShishi, that the whole purpose of the world is for that sixth day, the sixth of Sivan, when Klal Yisrael would receive the Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, told the world that if Klal Yisrael would not accept the Torah, then we're going to convert the whole world back to Tohu V'Vohu, to a state of desolation. So the world was frightened that it might not exist anymore. And then when Klal Yisrael resoundingly answered, Nasev Nishma, so then Shakata, the world is no longer frightened. So that Gemara in isolation does not directly refer to the Umos Olam, to the nations of the world. Unless we'll say that the nations of the world were also frightened because they're part of the world and therefore they're worried they're going to go to nothingness unless Klal Yisrael are going to accept the Torah. But there's a Gemara in Zvachim, Kuf Tesayin Ralef, quoted by other Midrashim too, found it on the computer, not my Bekiyus, where on the Pasuk that we recite when we return to Sefer Torah, Uvehecholo, Kulu Omer Kavod, Hashem Lamabul Yashov, Vayeshiv Hashem Melech Olam, Hashem Oz Lama Yitin, Hashem Yivorech Esam Vashalom. So the Gemara states that the nations of the world heard and sensed the Kolos of Rokim, the enormous sounds and quaking that was occurring at Har Sinai, and they didn't know what it was about. So they came running to Bilam, the famous prophet that Hashem gave to the nations of the world, to Bilam HaRasha, and they said, what's happening? Is the world coming to an end? Is Hashem destroying it with a mabul? And Bilam said, no, you don't have to worry. Hashem promised already that he's not going to destroy the world with a mabul, not with a mabul of Mayim, and not with a mabul of Eish. So what is happening? So Bilam states, Hashem Oz Lama Yitain. Hashem is giving Oz. The Torah is called Oz or Might. He's giving it to the nation of Israel. And lest you think that this is in order to destroy the world, no. Hashem Yivarech Hasan V'Shalom. The Torah is there to bring peace to the world. So that Gemara indicates directly that the nations of the world were frightened at Har Sinai. It doesn't quote the Pasuk of Eretz Yara V'Shakata. It quotes other Pesukim. As we mentioned, the Mizmor David, Uvecholo, Kulo Amer Kavod, Hashem L'Mabel Yoshev, so on and so forth, Hashem Oz L'Amiyit, and Hashem Yivarech Hasan V'Shalom. So Rashi and Tosis seem to be putting together those two teachings, that the nations of the world were frightened, as indicated by that Gemara that we quoted in Zvachim, and tying it in a simpler way, to Eretz Yara Vishakata, which the Gemara in Shabbos associates with, so to speak, the world itself, not the people inside, but the earth itself. And Rashi and Tosis say that also refers to the nations on the world, that they were frightened as a result of the event of Har Sinai. And then Vishakata, since Klal Yisrael said Nasa V'Nishma, so then they realized the world will have Kiyum and will continue to exist. So Tosis is explaining the second parish of the Gemara, that fear went out to the nations of the world, explaining how that's relevant to Har Sinai. Inami, alternatively, it could be going on Yerushalayim, as Tosis explained earlier, that Moria is a reference to Yerushalayim. Ratzalomar, Yerushalayim nikra Moria, al shem sheish mora la'ovde kochavim al gdulasa u'mispachadim. That there's fear to the nations of the world because of its enormous greatness and splendor, and therefore they're frightened as a result. Perhaps a reference to Yiret Shamayim, that as a result of that, they're frightened of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and have fear of Him. Tosis does not interpret how, if Moria is a reference to Har Sinai, how that would indicate Horah li Yisrael. But perhaps he didn't have to say that, because that's obvious. If Moria is a reference to Har Sinai, so obviously from there, Torah went to Klal Yisrael through Matan Torah. So he only had to explain how Har Sinai was the source of Mora for the nations of the world. It's still a need to understand how Har Moriah, which we know is clearly identified in Parashas Vayera as a reference to what later would be the Har HaBayis, how could Tosa suggest that that is a reference to Har Sinai? And that interpretation is also quoted by Rashi. This question is asked by the Marsha as well as other Achronim. So I was reading in a sefer called Umoto Ka'or by a contemporary Magid, by the name of Rav Levenstein, who quotes a medrash that says that at Har Sinai, Har HaMoriah went to join, so to speak, the mountain of Sinai, so that that great event of Matan Torah should also take place on the holy mountain on which Avram brought Yitzchak as the Akedah and contained the Evan Shesiah, the foundation stone of the whole world, and of course, indicating and symbolizing the fact that the Torah ultimately is the foundation of the whole world. So based on that, he suggests an interpretation of this rather cryptic Tosfos, which is also echoed by Rashi, that Har HaMoriah eventually also merged with Har Sinai for the moment of Matan Torah. Perhaps a greater pshat level, although this doesn't fit with the gears of our Tosfos, they point out on the margin in the Oz V'Hodor that the Yalkut Shemayni, when quoting our Gemara, it doesn't refer to Har HaMoriah, but rather the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim of Eilech Li El Har Hamor. And concerning Har Hamor, not Har HaMoriah, we have this debate between Rav Levi Bar Chama and Rabbi Chanina, as what is the reference of Har Hamor. So Har Hamor means the mountain of myrrh, or some kind of incense, some kind of sweet-smelling spice. And the Gemara points out in Masecht Shabbos, that we referenced earlier in the ninth parak, that every dibur that HaKadosh Baruch Hu stated, so there was fragrance that filled the whole area. So therefore, we could understand how Har Hamor can be a reference to Har Sinai, thus further justifying this pshat of Rashi and Tosis, although they seem to have the girsa Moriah. Tosis Divya Maschil, Adam Sheyesh Lo Tzura. The Gemara pointed out that the one who would give words of chizuk and musar on the fast day would ideally be a zokein and a chacham, an elder as well as wise, and if not, someone who's just wise, even if he's young, and if you don't have even that, so Adam Shel Tzura. What is meant by an Adam Shel Tzura? So both Rashi and Tosis explain that Adam Sheyesh Lo Tzura, this is the Divrei Maschil, perish bal koma, means someone who's tall. And why would someone tall be appropriate for this? Kedei sheyishmu dvarav yekavlu mimenu. They should hear his words, and they should accept it from him, lahamrech halev, to subdue the heart. When someone who's a giant is giving over words of Musar, it's hard not to listen. Upirko noe, so that's what the Gemara continues that someone who is chosen as chazan should have pirko noya. What does that mean? Pirish kisha amar al pirko, that when he was young, that's what's meant by al pirko. Afilu kishaya bachar, when he was a young man, haya below shemra, he wasn't sinning even then. So he's a consummate tzaddik from the beginning to end. Again, this is also mimicked by Rashi. Masechta Tainis, Staff Tes Zayin Amid Beis, Taisir Maschal, Mai Shavias, Shavias La Rucha. The Gemara was discussing the Mishnah that describes the extra brachos of a Tainis, as well as the various insertions that we insert right before the ending, Misha Ona, La Ramavino, La Vosein Al Yamsuf, etc., as well as the appropriate Chasima, Brochot Hashem, Zocher Bris, or Zocher Anishkochos, Brochot Hashem, Shomei Atru, etc. So the Mishnah states that there are six extra brachas that are added on a Tainis, and yet by the time the Mishnah is done enumerating all of the extra insertions, it speaks about seven. So that's what the Gemara asks, Mai Shvius, how is there a seventh? But I thought there were only six extra brachos. So the Gemara answers, Shvius La Rucha. So Tosfos, as does Rashi, explains what that means. What does it mean, Shvius La Rucha? Pirish, meaning, Shemaschilin Laharich, the brachos that we begin to lengthen them from their normal size the whole year, or that they don't exist the whole year. Velomar, Bakoshos, Utchinos, Betoch, Bracha, Shel Goel Yisrael. And to say various requests and beseechings within the bracha. And that already begins from the seventh bracha of Shmona Esrei, which is the bracha of Goel Yisrael, which is the first bracha that we modify for the purpose of a fast day. And then after the bracha of Goel Yisrael, between that and Rifaenu, similar to what we do when we add on our fast days for the Chazan, the bracha of Anenu. So on a fast day in the times of the Mishnah, where they added on six brachas, they would add in the extra six from there. But already the bracha of Goel Yisrael already had an extra insertion of Misha Analav Ramavina Bahar Moria, and therefore, by the time we're done, we have the bracha of Goel Yisrael plus an extra six, and therefore we get up to Shvius in terms of the various insertions of Misha Ona. Shvius La Rucha, the seventh of the brachos that we already begin to lengthen in light of the fast day. Tos continue, Av Mikol Mekom, Eina Bechlal HaNosafos B'mei Tanis. That bracha of Goel Yisrael is not part of the extra six of the days of fasting. Elohim Mosifin Rak Shisha, or Rak Sheish, Moshe Nekeva, because of bracha, because they only added on an extra six. That's the end of the first part of Tosfos explaining the Gemara's words, Mai Shviya Shviya Sarucha. Now Tosfos goes back to explain the reason why each of the specific Misha Onas, Avraham Avinu, Abu Sein Al Yamsuf, Yoshua, etc., why it appears in the bracha in which it is inserted, and how the ending of that bracha also ties in to the particular theme of that bracha. The majority of the words of Tosfos already appear in Rashi on the Mishnah on Tesvav Med Aleph. Tosfos has a little more than Rashi does, and to some extent he has a little less than Rashi does, which we'll highlight as we go through. Because Tosfos will be analyzing all of these brachos that were added on, just to quickly summarize what the brachos were, together with the Misha Onas that were added toward the end of the bracha, as well as the Chasima. So the first bracha, as Tosfos noted in the first part, where we already began to add things, was the bracha of Re'ei Vanyenu. And there we said, Misha Ona L'Avraham Avinu Bahar HaMoriah, and of course that bracha ends, as we end that bracha the whole year, with Bruchat Hashem Goel Yisrael. The second bracha is what the Gemara calls Zichronos. Doesn't exactly spell out the content of the bracha, but that was the theme of the bracha, of Hashem remembering us. It concluded with the phrase of Misha Anala Vasein Al Yamsuf, and ended with Bruchat Hashem, Zochar Bris, which seems to have been Tosis's Girsa. In the Mishnah, we actually have Zochar Hanishkochos. The third bracha is what the Mishnah calls Shofaros, and then it concluded with Misha Anala Yeshua Bagilgo, and then ended with Bruchat Hashem Shomei Atruah. The fourth bracha was from, the content began with the Pasuk in Tehillim of El Hashem Betzarasali, which is one of the Shirim Aloses, and concluded with Mishana L'Shmuel B'Mitzvah, and ended with Bruchat Hashem Shomei Tzaoka. The fifth bracha, the content again was from a Perek in Tehillim and from the Shirim Aloses, Esayin El Ahorim. It concluded with Mishana L'Yob Har HaKarmel, and ended with Bruchat Hashem Shomei Tfila. The sixth bracha was from another Shirim Alos, Mimamakim Kirasicha Hashem. It concluded with Mishana Leyona Vimeyadoga, and ended with Bruchat Hashem Ho'one Beisara. And the seventh and final bracha, also from Tehillim, but not from the Shirim Alos, contained Tfilah Lani Chiyatov, Lofnei Hashem Yishbok Sicho, It concluded with Mishan LeDavid Ushlomo Ben Obi Rushalayim and ended with Bruch Hashem Hamarachim Al Ha'oretz. So now we begin the interpretation of Tosis as to why all these things are where they are. All the brachos have a specific reason why they end with that. Tosis is going to focus on both the penultimate lines of the Misha Ana for the actual ending and the actual ending of Baruchat Hashem. So the first bracha, Harishona Shel Goel. The first bracha of Goel Yisrael, which is of course the regular ending of the whole year, Baruchat Hashem Goel Yisrael. Eina Min Aminyan. That's not part of the extra six, but nonetheless, there was an extra insertion there. Uva Omrim, and in it we say, Mi Sha'ana Lavram Bahara Moria, Hu Yana Eschem, Yishma Kol Tzakaschem Hayom Hazeh. So what is the connection between Avram Avinu and the Bracha of Gol Yisrael? So Tosis explained, Lufi Shehaya Rishon LeNitzolin, because he was the first, presumably the Jewish people, Shanitzol Mi Nimrod, because he was saved from Nimrod, of course, the king who had him thrown into the fiery furnace as a result of his destroying the idols of his father Terach. And he was saved. Therefore, it's appropriate to speak about a Geula, Goel Yisrael, in the context of Avraham. This particular section of Tosis is in addition to what Rashi says on the Mishnah, because Rashi does not comment on the connection of Avraham Avinu to the bracha of Goel Yisrael. Pretty much the rest of Tosis already appears in the Rashi. Uvishniya shehi rishona min hashisha nosafos, the second bracha from Goel Yisrael, which is the first of the extra six, Omar. So Chazan would say, "Mishana lavoseinu al yamsuf v'chosein borach zocha bris." What is the connection of that phrase, "Mishana lavoseinu al yamsuf," and the chasim of zocha bris to the content of the bracha? So Tosis notes that this bracha is the bracha of Zichronos, as we mentioned before. L'fichach omra b'zichronos, and that's why we say these two phrases mentioning Avoseinu al Yamsuf and Zochar Bris in the context of Zichronos, of remembrances. L'fishahoye b'mitzrayim, because when they were in Egypt, v'nisiyashu min ha'geula, and they gave up hope from redemption, at least the men, not the women, as the Midrashim say. All of Neemar, concerning that event, it states, v'ezkars brisi, that Hashem remembered the covenant with the Jewish people. Even though the Jewish people were giving up on redemption, but Hashem did not give up, and he remembered the bris and took them out. So hence, we have the connection, even though it mentions Lavoseinu al Yamsuf, but broadly speaking connected to Yetzias Mitzrayim, as well as the concept of Zochar Bris, because Hashem remembered us, as the Pasuk indicates there, Vo'ezkors Brisi, hence the connection to the Bracha of Zichronos. Chein b'shlishis, she'ishniya min aminyan. Now Tos explains the third of the brachos, counting of Goel Yisrael, which is the second of the count of six. So we end with the phrase, Shomea Teruah, and there we mention Yoshua, Mishana Yoshua beGilgal. Be Yoshua, Tos continues, Shenena beYericho. Yoshua was answered in Yericho. Dehainu ba'od Yisrael beGilgal. While the Jews were encamped in Gilgal, which was the first stopover after they crossed the Yarden, so then they warred against Yericho, even though the camp was in Gilgal, and hence, Mishana Yoshua beGilgal. Gilgal is connected to Shofaros because Yericho fell with Shofaros, as Tos will say in a moment. Tos continue, B'Shofaros, Haya Omer, Mishana Yoshua B'Gilgal, B'Fi Shenene B'Shofaros. Since Yoshua was answered with Shofar, that was, so to speak, Hashem's tool to cause the walls of Yericho to come tumbling down. So hence we say it in the Bracha, which is the second Bracha of the six, which is the bracha of Shofaros. So hence the whole connection. The bracha is Shofaros, who answered Yoshua beGilgal, because that's where they were camping when they were answered via the vehicle of Shofar in conquering Yericho. Now Tos continue to the fourth bracha from Goel Yisrael, which is the third of the new brachos. Al Revias, Vishlishis Min Aminyan, the fourth bracha from Goel Yisrael, which is the third of the count of the six. There we add in Mishan L'Shmuel V'chule. That's L'Shmuel V'Mitzvah. Uvishmuel Ksiv Tzaka U'Tfila. Concerning Shmuel, it says both screaming out to Hashem and Tfila. Tos is already beginning to allude to the fact that the Gemara has a debate as to how we end with that bracha. The original version we have in our Mishnah is with Shmuel we say Shomea Tzaka. Agave Leo, which is referred to in the next bracha, Ksiv Tfila, namely Aneni Hashem Aneni. Tosa summarizes, Ramina Begemara, Ditzaoka Gabe Shmuel, Utfila Gabe Leo. Concerning Shmuel, we say Shemea Tzaoka. Concerning Leo, we say Shemea Tfila. Yeshomrim Tfila Gabe Shmuel, Utzaoka Gabe Leo. And some switch it and have Shemea Tfila associated with the bracha where we mention Shmuel, and Shemea Tzaoka associated with the bracha where we mention Leo. And why is Tzaoka appropriate for Leo? The Hadichsiv Aneni Gabe Leo. Then Aneni is not only a form of tefillah that Elio said in Har Carmel, but it's also a form of tzaka, of screaming out to Hashem. So that was a little bit of a tangent about the endings of Shemaya Tefillah and Shemaya Tzaka. Now, Tosfos goes back to the fourth bracha from Goel Yisrael, which is the third additional bracha. And on that, as Tosfos is going to say in a moment, we begin El Hashem Batzarasali, a pasuk in one of the Shir Maloses, and we speak about that Hashem answered Shmuel B'mitzvah, and we end, let's just pick one version, with Shema Yitzhak. So now Tosfos put it all together. Shmuel B'mitzvah Me'ein is similar to El Hashem Batzarasali, because then Klal Yisrael when it's a state of tzara, because the Plishtim were poised to attack, and Shmuel davened in mitzvah, and they brought korbanos, and they were victorious miraculously over the Plishtim. So hence the flow of El Hashem Batzarasali, just as Hashem answered Shmuel B'mitzvah, and Shamei Tzaka. And finally, Tos explain the fifth bracha, which begins Esa Eina El Ahorim, speaks about Aliyo Bahar HaKarmel, and ends Shomei HaTfilah. So Tos to say, one of the Achronim in the Oz V'Hadar points out, take out the Lamed, Aliyo Bahar HaKarmel, to make it consistent with the other phrases in Tosfos. Aliyo Bahar HaKarmel, Keneged Esa Eina El Ahorim, because that took place on the mountains, Har HaKarmel. And of course, ending Shomei HaTfilah, V'chein Kulam. And so too the rest of them. The next Tos is going to explain the seventh bracha from Goel Yisrael, which speaks about Dovid and Shlomo, which is the sixth new bracha. But Tos omits the explanation of the sixth bracha from Goel Yisrael, which is the fifth new bracha. So that is given by Rashi. Just Lamana Shleimus, for the sake of completing the themes, so we'll just mention what Rashi says on Tesvav and Aleph, that concerning Yonah, the bracha begins with Mimamakim Kirasich Hashem, appropriate for Yonah because he was calling out from the depths of the sea. And there we have a reference to Misha Anali Yonah B'mei HaDoga, in the belly of the fish, and it ends Ha'ona Be'ez Sara, as Rashi quotes a pasuk in the famous tefillah of Yonah in Sefer Yonah, where Yonah calls out to Hashem and says, Karasi Mitzarali, I called out in a state of distress. So the next Tosis, Dibur Maschil, Baruch Merachim El Haaretz, is going to further elucidate, similar to the pattern of the earlier Tosis, also dealing with one extra theme about the switching of the order, but explaining how David and Shlomo are connected to the theme of the bracha. Baruch Merachim El Haaretz, Degabei David Shlomo, Shayach Lomo Al Haaretz. It's especially appropriate to connect Eretz Yisrael to David and Shlomo. Why? The David and Shlomo is Spalo Al Haaretz, because David and Shlomo davened for the land. How so? David Gabei Malach HaMoves, David concerning the angel of death, Begorin HaRavna. There was a tremendous plague in Klal Yisrael, and David sees the Malach HaMoves with an outstretched sword by the threshing floor of Aravna Yavusi, and he realizes that one of the reasons that the plague hit is because Klal Yisrael were not seeking out the building of the Mikdash, and David purchases that threshing floor, ultimately realizing that that will be the place of the Makom HaMikdash. And he davened that the plague should stop, and indeed did. So here we have David davening for the protection of the people in Eretz Yisrael. Shlomo, Betfilah de Ka'amar, in Shlomo's famous prayer at the dedication of the Beis HaMikdash, so he states something that's very appropriate also to Eretz Yisrael, Rav Kiyir Ba'aretz, and when there's a famine in the land, so then we call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he saves us. It's interesting that Rabbi Yehuda and the Mishnah, who disagrees with the mentionings of Zichronos v'Shofaros as extra brachos, that that's only relevant to Rosh Hashanah and other times, but not on a fast day, quotes that pasuk of Rav Kiyah Baretz. So here Tosfos quotes it in the context of Shlomo's tefillah concerning Eretz Yisrael, and therefore the connection between not only David but also Shlomo to the ending of Baruch Merachim Al Haaretz. That the connection of Shlomo to Eretz Yisrael is the fact that the Beis HaMikdash was built, of course, in Eretz Yisrael. Could also be that David is also connected to the concept of Mikdash, because he was the one, together with Shmuel HaNavi, that outlined the whole infrastructure, and he gave the blueprints to Shlomo HaMelech, realizing that he, David, would not be Zocha to build it, as the prophet told him that he wouldn't be able to do so, that his son will build it, but he had dreamed of building the Mikdash his whole life and prepared for it, both in terms of gathering the funds necessary for it, and also receiving from Shmuel HaNavi the various blueprints of how to build it. Rashi on the Mishnah actually states a more encompassing understanding that the main aspect of Eretz Yisrael is the Beis HaMikdash, the Mokam HaShchinah. Rashi also adds a little bit more on the Mishnah on Tezvav Med Aleph, because Tos doesn't explain how it ties into the beginning of the bracha. So the beginning of the bracha is actually from Tehillim, Tefillah L'Ani Chiyatov L'Fnei Hashem Yishpoch Sicho, a prayer to the poor man or the humble man as he is davening or One could also translate as fainting. And before Hashem, he pours out his speech. And that's appropriate when davening for Eretz Yisrael, for the rain that's not falling, because the people are like Aniyim beseeching HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The last part of Tosis is really just quoting a Gemara later. A little curious why Tosis had to say it. The Gemara on Yitzayim at Aleph. So Tosis writes, "V'lo kasha ha'dechoshev Yonah mikami David." And it's not difficult why Yonah, in the order of the brachos, again, the Misha Anol Yonah me'adoga, is the sixth bracha from Goral Yisrael, the fifth of the six extra brachas. So that's listed before Mikame David, before David and of course Shlomo, who are listed in the last bracha. Avagav Shoya Kodem, even though David was before Yonah, so how come David is not mentioned earlier? The Tosis answer, based on the Gemara, Mishem Deboy Lemichtem Ala Oretz, because in the very last bracha, we want to conclude with a prayer for Eretz Yisrael, namely for the rain that hadn't fallen, Kedem Eforosh B'Gemara, as the Gemara states. Since David and Shlomo are more connected in their tfilos to Eretz Yisrael, as opposed to Yonah, so therefore we want to list them last in the bracha of Merachim Ala Oretz, connecting them to Eretz Yisrael, and concluding with a prayer specifically oriented toward rain that Eretz Yisrael needed.